The following podcast contains adult themes and adult language. Listener discretion advised.
And although we joke, if you or someone you know is affected by or a victim of domestic violence, dial 1-800-799-7233 or visit the National Domestic Violence Hotline's website, thehotline.org.
It's always the husband, it's always the husband, it's always the husband, I don't keep it.
Hi, everybody. This is Sarah.
And this is Megan.
And you are listening to It's Always the Husband podcast.
Welcome.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
I'm going to warn, maybe I should pre-warn listeners, this storytelling of this episode will give me a stroke. I might not make it through. It will give me a massive, massive, massive stroke. Because I can't relate to any of the people in this as human beings.
And
I don't have anything in me that can try to put myself in their place to understand their motivations in their choices.
You have a very strong sense of right and wrong.
Yes.
And you, and of rational thought,
right.
Being rational, and all of this is irrational and crazy. Yes. And wrong.
Right.
Yeah. So you are going to have a stroke.
Yeah.
And don't worry. I have 911 just ready on my phone.
You. As you always do.
We'll get the EMT here shortly. Yeah. And they'll give her a giant shot of Ozempic. And
I hope so.
She'll be I'll back be good for at a week in no time.
And fit into my pants next week. Instead of my pants being horrifically tight all day at work.
I'm sorry, ma'am. Why did you call 911?
Yeah. I needed some Ozempic from the EMTs because I'm too fat.
Just give her that shot. Yeah.
Am I
of the anti-venom, yeah, or the adrenaline,
yeah,
or Ozempic? We'll take it. Okay.
So we are doing a Dateline episode that's famous, but we didn't do the Dateline version. I picked a scorned Love Kills because it does reenactments the whole time, which Dateline does not.
No,
because Dateline is just the top notch, top tier.
And there's no way then you can make fun of the reenactors or
no, there's none of
casting
that
casting choices. So we like Scorned a
right
lot,
because they just go pure pork.
They do. This yeah was all
this was 97% pork.
Yeah.
They even give you a warning before you watched Scorn Love Kills. If it was just this episode or random episodes, that it says there is massive amount of porking, so if you're sensitive about porking, don't watch it.
They did not give a disclaimer about the charred body you
no
would see or
or
the strangulation.
Else.
Yeah, no. There was nothing
about the violence
to tell
no
you.
It was just
about
the sex.
The violence or the killing. Just look out because yep they be porking.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Dateline was called Twisted Faith. It's a pretty famous one if you know your Datelines. And it was also a Dateline takes Dateline episodes and now extends them into a podcast.
Like a podcast series.
Yeah, yeah, like a series. And this series was called Mortal Sin, and I think it was two series ago, because now it's like Murder in the Hollywood Hills. It's the current one.
And then there was another one about rose or flowers or something, wasn't there?
I can't Magnolia remember thing? That was like two yeah years ago.
Oh, that was?
Yeah. God damn it. Stay with the times. Talking about 2 years ago.
Damn it.
But that was a good one, too. I think that was the dumbass redheaded shark-eyed guy, you know, that
yeah
killed his son and wife.
Yeah.
So shark. I listened to Mortal Sin, and every day in my car, I listened. I was just like, I screamed nonstop because I couldn't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't handle it. Mm-hmm. It was like when someone's so dumb, but then they go down 50 feet more of dumb and then shit themselves and then 100 feet more of dumb and then admit it.
It's hard for you.
And talk about it on yeah TV and on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. So before we dive into this absolute shit show,
I am a little, do you have your watch on for like pulse?
Yeah.
Meter. Okay. Just keep it
100.
Okay. It's 100 right now.
I should watch it.
Yeah. You're going to get fired
up. I mean,
100
is terrible for me sitting, but I have my heart issues.
You do. Mm-hmm.
And at work, it goes out of control to where my watch beeps at me.
Stop it.
Well, if there wasn't, people didn't send their terrible, naughty deodorants to my class.
I'm currently at 73.
See, that's a normal. Although, like, 60 should be normal.
Oh, no, I'm at 71.
I am just fucked.
68. See, I got nervous about you, and then my heart.
Yeah. Now you're normal, but I'm not a normal.
Now I'm down. Okay.
We have new Patreons.
Nuh-uh.
Karen Unger.
Aww.
Karen, welcome. Thank you so much. We're so happy. I put on Patreon, I've recorded our last episode, or videotaped our last episode. It's on Patreon first, then I'll add it to YouTube. And you can watch that. And I'm videotaping this one. We'll put it on.
And oh my God, episodes. We apologize for our looks.
Oh, yeah. We look terrible. So don't, yeah, please.
Yeah.
But we need to up our listenership and viewership and sink. And the,
yeah.
We must be so offensive. It's just sink to the bottom. We don't know. I try things so hard. And then it's just, I fail at everything I try.
No, we're fine.
Okay. And then Megan Cholak.
Yeah.
Thank you and welcome, Megan and Karen. Megan and Karen, we love you. Thank you so much.
We do.
Thank you.
Enjoy the extra content.
Yes, it is extra content. And I'll send you things in the mail.
Uh-huh.
And we do a little glitter in the shitter because our weeks are usually shitty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not relatively speaking to the whole world, obviously. Hopefully our poor listeners, there were terrible, terrible, terrible tornadoes February. That's my brain. Instead of Friday, my brain said February.
Vitamin D.
Yep. Friday and Saturday. This is August. April 29th. Marmee, my roommate Marnie's birthday too.
Aww.
Today. And same with the wedding day of our beloved royals, William and Catherine.
It's their anniversary today.
13 years today.
Congrats. Hear.
But these tornadoes were awful. They were F3s, where it goes up to like an F5 is the most severe. And then one of them just got upgraded 2 hours ago to an F4. So these were terribly strong, destructive tornadoes.
Yeah.
And hopefully, if any of our listeners or had anything happen, it's, I mean, terrible.
And still, people were driving, taking videos of them that you could see.
A lot of them were the storm chasers.
On socials.
And a lot of them were dummers.
Yep.
But because of the scientists and storm chasers, they got like a 35-minute warning, some of these towns, which is the longest, biggest warning yet.
Really?
Of tornado warnings.
Oh.
So that's good.
You're such a tornado nerd.
Well, I'm not. It's just because
it's part of my job.
I have been forced to. Yes, and Wheeze is also a tornado nerd, getting 100% on her test today.
Oh, I'm so proud.
Aced it.
After a long weekend of dance.
Holy crap. Yeah.
So what got you through this week?
I decided, because it also was Earth Day last week, and I looked at all the plastic bottles I have, and I learned from a recycling lady, first of all, the way we recycle things is totally wrong. You're not supposed to crush your cans. You're supposed to have your plastic lids attached to your plastic, but you can only recycle 1, 2s, and 5s. I thought you could recycle any plastic that had the recycling on the bottom, and you absolutely cannot.
Well, why do they put it there?
Because then idiots like me buy it and say it can be recycled. It's a lie. You can only recycle a 1, 2, or 5, I guess, and they should have their lids or they can't really do much with them.
I thought you were supposed to throw the lid away.
No, you have to have it attached, she said. It has to be like one piece as much as possible.
Who said?
The recycling lady that came. I don't know her name or anything about her.
Okay.
But she came. And she said she was spouting straight facts. And then I felt so bad. And then I looked around and now my whole house is plastic items that are just shittery. then I'm just adding to the landfill of shit.
Yeah.
So I decided the worst is in my shower. I have enormous shampoo bottles of plastic fuckery. And so Jason Momoa, once I saw in one of his videos, had like a purse, I don't know, and he poured out his purse and he had a shampoo bar. Uh-huh. Of like a soap, but it's a shampoo. And he said that's all he ever does is he carries like everything is bar form that he has.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. And this was like 3 years ago. And I thought, I'm going to start buying those dumb ass shampoo bars. And I did from this company called Seek Bamboo. And it's the cleanest my hair's ever been. It works like a charm. And you only need a tiny bit. And so I got a shampoo or bar shampoo and a bar soap. And they're like, I mean, they're like about the size of like hotel soaps, but maybe a little bit bigger. And a little goes a long way.
I feel like my hair is too curly and too crazy for
no,
it.
No, I don't know.
Do you have a conditioner bar?
Yes, and it's a conditioner bar. And I thought, I don't know if this is working, but I could comb through my hair like right after it was. And it lathered, the shampoo lathered like better lather than I'd gotten out of anything. Maybe because it's like I don't know. My scalp didn't itch.
Wow.
And it was rose scented and it smelled really good.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So far, so good. Wow. I enjoyed it.
Great.
And I have that charcoal bar from that Cassie's party.
Yeah. Do you like that too?
I do too. It scrubs and cleans your bits real
good. It's good for your armpits.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So maybe I'm clean this week.
Oh my God.
No.
I'm so proud of you for showering. Yeah.
Gosh.
My glitter in the shitter is a menopause doctor.
A deactor?
A deactor. Actually, it's a company.
Oh.
It's the place that I looked at or went to was midi.com, MIDI.com. And y'all know I've been, you know, rashy and crabby and I can't remember shit. And I ask Sarah what her glitter in the shitter is 14 times, even though she already said it. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? So I finally went to midi.com and it cost me a copay, $20. And I went to get my blood drawn at a place. Blood drying place, and they sent it in, and a week later I had my labs back and they could tell me what my estrogen levels, my testosterone levels, my glucose, my balls, the size of my balls, yeah. All of those things. And so I had my second appointment today where she just went through labs with me, and I just have to this is what I loved about it. It was online, but you know, it was like a video call. So I was looking at her. I could see her. She was like, actually said, well, what are you going to do about it? Like, this is what your labs say. So these are your choices. Like, what do you want to do? Every time I've gone to just like a regular doctor, they're like, yeah, you have high cholesterol. It's fine. You probably just didn't fast right. And I'm like, okay. But now it's come back twice where I have high mm-hmm. cholesterol. And like finally someone was like, you can't just go around having high cholesterol.
Mine is so high, like numbers don't exist to represent it. And no one and everyone just goes, well.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
Yeah. So I'm going to recommend it.
I love it. I'm going to try it myself.
Yes.
And they're going to go, oh, God, ma'am. Mm-mm. Oh, ma'am.
No, but it makes
your
feel
balls are
seen.
Out of control.
And you like fill out a lot of stuff ahead of time. So they already have looked at your charts by the time you get on.
See
so
how
you
crazy
have,
you are before.
But, so you have a 30 yeah. minute block of just being able to talk to someone. So
yes.
It's not like someone comes in, they pull up a thing, they look at your chart. They're like, oh, you know what I mean? It's like she's already looked at it. So she's prepared to talk to me. And then we just have a conversation.
That's excellent.
For a half an hour. And she gives me my options. And like, so we left it today. She's like, here's your options. You can get Ozempic because you're a fat ass. You can get this other thing.
Did you have to like take your own weight and write it
Burberry
down?
Burberry or something.
Burberry coats. Those are nice.
Yeah. Or you can just exercise. And I was like,
no.
Doctor. No.
Dr. Huxtable, no.
So I highly recommend.
Oh, that's nice.
A lot of places when you go to get like your hormones done, they don't take insurance. No. And you have to pay for it.
You feel like, I don't know. Is this, are you shafting me?
Yeah. So this was nice because it was medical. It's a doctor. Nice. It's a $20 copay. And
MIDI, MIDI.com. And mine was Seek Bamboo.
Yes. Awesome.
S-E-E-K.
Okay.
And we also have a Facebook group I thought would go over first that has some funny fuckers in it. I like that Jen Center, for some reason, her algorithm is sending her realistic fake monkeys dressed in clothing, thinking that she wants to purchase them. And I'd never seen these realistic fake monkeys or thought of purchasing one in clothing.
Is that when someone was like, it's Travis?
It looks like Travis. Travis episode, I don't know what number it was, but I did traumatize many people.
That was an accident.
With the Travis episode.
Ugh.
But yeah, I don't know. What do you do with a realistic fake monkey?
I don't know.
What do you do with them?
I wonder about those realistic fake babies. I wonder.
Oh, God, and those are everywhere now. Like the super realistic
on
fake
Facebook
baby.
Facebook Marketplace. Yes. You can buy them all over. I don't know.
What do you do with them?
I don't know.
I mean, do you go to like a baby meet and greet or with other and carry your fake baby?
Or your fake
monkey?
Monkey?
What?
I don't know.
I don't know. Is it like Precious Moments and you collect different kinds and put them in your corner curio?
I don't know. Oh. I don't have a curio. Oh. This my grandma did. That's awesome. I loved Valeska had the like TikTok of the best marketing ever, and it was the guy who would start with a clip like the stretcher was falling down, and then it would flash to him and he'd be rolling on the floor and he'd say, come to my nail salon.
That was very good.
Yeah. And I laughed so hard and I sent it to everyone. I loved it. Thank you. I will go to your nail salon.
I would go there too. I'm sure he's in California.
I don't know where it is.
Something that we can't attend.
I'll see him someday.
Yeah. I would too. All right. So let's dive into this episode.
Let's do it.
My heart is 84.
Okay.
You know, it calmed down and now it's going to go up again.
Okay. Here we go.
So again, this was a Dateline called Twisted Faith and then a Dateline series called Mortal Sin. And I can't do it. I don't know if I can do it, but I'm going to try.
Yep.
We watched Scorned, Love Kills, and there was a literal warning before you watched it that there's so much banging going on in this episode. Please be warned.
Yes.
If you don't like to see banging, turn it off.
We have watched another Scorned Love Kills before because I remember the knife coming down during the thing.
I think we have.
Yeah. And then it was like heavy metal, like, meh, brow, yeah. And then
they are pretty good.
Down. Yeah.
I mean, they're foolish. That's why I love them.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, I love the regular score. I listen to the regular Scorned as a podcast all the time. I love Scorned.
Love Kills. Yeah. Okay.
So this is season 3, episode 4, and it is called God's Gift to Women. Oh.
Obviously.
Oh. All right. We're going to go to an absolutely beautiful island, Bain Bridge Island.
Okay.
So it's near Seattle, and it was truly lovely looking. It would be lovely to live on this island, but do you have to like get on a ferry every time you want to go to Target? Like, I couldn't handle that. Do you have to, like, bribe?
It's like when you go to Bayfield, Wisconsin, and you have to go to that island.
But you have to ride a ferry.
Yeah,
you have to get on the ferry.
You can't do that.
Hmm. I don't know. That takes time, and you got to wait for it.
Yeah, never.
Oh, I don't know if I could do that.
No.
Well, 17,000 people live on this beautiful island. And, I mean, it was incredible, just scenes from it.
It was beautiful.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They say the people on the island are, you know, they kind of just do their own thing. They're not necessarily close knit. It kind of made it seem like they all keep to their own business.
Because they all live in an island.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to live in an island, you don't care much for others.
I think so. Yeah. And you don't even care for people on the island.
No.
And that I like.
Maybe you could live on an island.
So the center of this island. And it didn't quite look like a church. It looked like a
trailer.
trailer slash come and go gas station.
And it literally was.
Yeah. Oh, it was a come and go. It's a Pentecostal church, and I don't know about them.
Pentecostal is when you put your hands in the air and you go, amen! I got Jesus. And they speak in tongues and they dance around.
All right. And it said it was an emerging evangelical. Yeah. Are they? Okay. So this Pentecostal church was called Christ Community. And the leader of Christ Community is 27-year-old Nick Hackney. Mm-hmm. So the casting on the show was this. The real Nick Hackney. I don't know, again, if there is words in the English language to describe how homely this sir is. This sir is so homely. And at one point in the Mortal Sin podcast, a gentleman we will meet who wrote a book on this case takes time to even stop and just say, I'm not quite sure how any of this happened, because the gentleman in question is quite... and then he said, like, let's just say he's not handsome. Nick Hackney is, I mean, every picture I found of him was uglier than the last. And I shouldn't make fun of people's looks, but I do, and this guy deserves it. And sometimes they showed him with a mustache, and it was like a wimpy porn child molester 70s mustache, and it looked like he smelled.
And his mustache was bad.
Oh, very bad. And then
he couldn't even grow it in.
And then there's pictures of him without the mustache, and he looks almost like he plays video games in a mall.
Yeah.
And that's like all he does. But the show decided they're going to say, you know what? We're going to ignore everything about Nick Hackney's appearance and cast the exact opposite. So the man cast as Nick Hackney actually had quite good cheekbones and jawline and actually seemed to have muscle tone and muscles, because his shirt was always off because he was always working.
Yep.
And seemed to be like actually good looking. So as you're watching this show and not realizing what the real Nick looks like, you almost could see a reason for a gal becoming enamored. But in reality, again, there was absolutely no reason, unless, one, you're blinded by the eclipse. Two, you already were blinded, went to Mary Ingalls Blind School.
Right.
And three, you had no hands or eyes, so you couldn't like put your hands on his face to see his face. And you were blind. And then maybe.
I was yelling at the TV, and Phil came home, and I was like, God, he's so ugly. Why would anyone do this? And Phil was like, that guy's not bad. And I was like, that's not the real guy. Right. That's an actor.
The actor, like, the actor made it make sense.
Yeah.
And I think that they had to make it make sense, or maybe your brain would have went into like some sort of aneurysm. You would have had brain bleed. You would have started violently stabbing yourself in the puss as you're watching it, because you don't understand what you're seeing. You would have had some sort of absolute, your sanity would have snapped.
But then when he found out he was a pastor, he was like, well, that's why. And I was like, no. But
there could be attractive pastors.
Well, yeah, but they're it's not possible. Supposed to pork people.
No. But they're not supposed to rob people of their money either and live in palaces.
No, I know.
Anyway, so 27-year-old Nick Hackney is
your
shown
blood
as a,
pressure's going
I know,
up,
it's going
it?
Up. Yeah. It's going up.
Yeah.
We're at 89, so it's not too bad yet. He's a pastor of this Pentecostal church, and he has a wife that's 28 named Dawn.
Okay.
They had been married for 6 years. So 6 years, and they show them in a reenactment. You know, he's getting on his shirt, and again, he has quite a nice figure and is handsome. She's very sexy. And she's like tying his tie or something, and they're kind of being all sexy in the bedroom, and it looks like they're just all like, how cute these couple are. And it says they got together at Bible college, and these two look like smoking hot fuck machines that just pork and pork. Well, in reality, I feel like maybe it was more like, here, go even.
Yeah.
Maybe a nerd camp.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Dawn seemed like she was well, normal, you know, like yeah. normal. And it became too late for her, but I think she, if she could have had more time, she would have made us all proud. But Nick has something, he must have that thing where charisma is an actual thing that wins you over. But yeah. I don't think so, which makes me more confused. But anyway, they get together at Bible college. They get married right away, settle down. And as far as everyone's known, we see her friend Eunice. It's not Eunice yeah. Higgins no. from Mama's Family. But her friend Eunice says they seem totally normal. But mm-hmm. she also did call Nick a really nice looking guy. And I wrote that down and went, what? And I looked at her eyes to see if bleach had been poured in her eyes recently. But she was mistaken.
Yeah.
You know what? She was mistaken. She was. She made a mistake and we can forgive her for that.
Yeah.
She also said Nick was in shape, and I believe that was not the truth, and that he had a nice smile. And again, those were all straight up lies.
Yeah.
But I'm giving her a pass. You know, okay. she's trying to be kind. So this evangelical church movement, their church, again, has some very unconventional beliefs. This is where I first had my scream. Well, besides looking at the actor compared to the real Nick,
yeah. Yeah.
I had a scream then. This again, I couldn't, my heart rate went up and I couldn't pull it back down for a long time. Ugh. Now we see Greg Olson, who is the crime author, and he's quite funny in the Mortal Sin podcast. He said their main belief is one gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So that means, and I was like, what in the hell is this? And then
that means
prophecy.
Well, they think that the Spirit is in them, and that's why they start saying nonsense words. Mm-mm. Or remember that what I showed you, that TikTok where they dance around and they jump on the pulpit? Uh-uh. And
I can't. Mm-mm.
Yeah, and they just say that is the Spirit in them.
No, but why do these people do it? And why do you do it? One has a gift of prophecy from God. No one does. And stop it.
It's a fever.
And so they believed God was speaking directly to someone in their church.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Pretty dangerous.
You know what? I believe sometimes people can be like, oh, they're going to go on a plane and they get an overwhelming, horrible feeling and they don't get on the plane and the plane crashes. You know what? Sometimes, like if that happens, sometimes I'm like, you know what? There might be a little weird thing to that. Mm-hmm. But how they were doing it at this church is that someone would stand up and say, God sent a message to me and it said, ladies can no longer flush their tampons down the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody could stand up and say something goddamn dumb.
Yeah.
I saw Gary kissing his dad. Well, no, you didn't.
And that means we're all supposed to kiss our dads.
But then these people believe like Harry Potter and Star Wars and all that is bad and evil when this is all like witchcraft?
Yeah.
What the hell is wrong with you? What's the difference?
Well, the difference is some people really think that it is God.
But it's
not. And they
think
that's the right...
How can one person have a streamline to God, but other people can't? Isn't that some sort of weird, like, false idol? Or is that okay? What's a false idol, then?
I mean, a cow?
Oh.
A golden cow?
I guess.
I don't know.
I don't know. I couldn't understand it at all.
Who pretends that they're God, but that's kind of a lot of churches have started that way, right? Is like we need Valeska to be on our podcast because she's
But I feel like if you just go to church and it makes you be stronger and be kinder and gets you through the day and gives you strength and makes you be a better person and grow, that I like am all for. But this just seems like control and lying and grifting. I don't know. And I don't know why you fall for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Greg Olson, the author, said all eyes were always on Nick because he seemed to be dynamic and charismatic. Like, was he really,
though?
And
then he figured out that it was just that everyone was blind and their eyes weren't tracking.
Right. Properly. They weren't tracking. The eyes were not able to focus.
Yeah. But they loved him and his wife loved him.
Yes, they did. Like he was.
Yeah.
They loved him. So then this dick that's 27 that got married when he was 21 and probably only, well, I can't say that because it's not true. I was going to say porked Don. Decides, hey, I'm going to be a marriage counselor. Why do people go to churches for marriage counseling, especially like Catholics? I was baptized Catholic. That's all. That's the farthest I went to church. But why do you go to a priest for marriage counseling? Is it actual marriage counseling or is it like spiritual counseling? Then I could understand. But marriage counseling, priests don't use their wang, at least in an appropriate way, if they use their wang. So how do they know about it? They're not married.
Right. I think it's certainly not counseling as in like therapy where you're both trying different things and you're talking about your needs and your wants.
But they make it like therapy and they're not trained therapists. Yeah. Nick wasn't a trained therapist.
Right. Correct.
He's totally inexperienced. He wasn't trained. Even other people in the church were like, that's fucked.
And
that
then
seems weird.
You obviously would want to, when you were counseling people in marriage at a church, they obviously would stick to the Bible's definition.
What if you ask about taxes? They don't know about taxes.
No, they don't. The Bible says a lot about taxes too. They'd have to.
I know.
Really
like what? I have a question about my taxes.
No, they say we're only here to talk about staying married, I think, because it's. You made a promise.
And I'm not here to ask about taxes or porking.
No.
All right. So anyway, he decides he's going to start marriage counseling in this church. And
well, people signed up.
They did. So he begins counseling this couple called Sandy and Jimmy.
Yep.
Now, Sandy was special because she was the church secretary. She was aged 34. I'm sure Jimmy was the same. But Sandy was also one of the major Holy Spirit gift talkers. She was the prophetess. Mm-hmm. She would spew things out of her mouth and give prophets. Now, let it be known, not one of Sandy's prophets ever came true.
Her prophecy, yeah.
Never one. Not one. Even the one where she said, I'm going to get my period tomorrow. That one never even came through.
She was still rock. No.
Still didn't get her period. Now, the Sandy actress was smoking hot. I don't know what the real Sandy looks like.
I do.
And Jimmy, the actor, they went to Paul Bunyan Land, wherever it is now. Did they move it? And they took the clothing off the giant full-sized Paul Bunyan. And they put this ill-fitting Paul Bunyan suit on the Jimmy actor and made him wear it and stand there.
Yeah.
And he looked like a fool.
Yeah.
So Sandy.
The real Jimmy was kind of big.
So maybe they had real Jimmy's clothing on this tiny actor. I don't know why the suit, he was drowning in this suit. But I thought the real Sandy was smoking hot.
Okay.
I mean, not the real Sandy. The
actress
Sandy.
She was cute. Yeah.
So they're struggling in their marriage. Sandy wants, she's kind of tired of her humdrum life. And she wants a little more excitement. Well, Jimmy, he likes to go home and relax and chill after working. And he seems like everything's fine. What's wrong with life? And Nick then is trying to, you know, restore the harmony in their marriage. But he decides he can best restore the harmony in their marriage with one-on-one counseling with Sandy and do the marriage counseling without the husband present.
Right.
Nick felt that was the best way to get to, you know, to help Sandy and Jimmy's marriage.
Right.
So as Sandy goes to the marriage counseling alone, again, she is the prophetess. So she has some power in the church. She actually could tell church members what to do, when to do it, because everyone knew that she told the prophecies, so they would listen to her.
She was God. She was a pipeline from God.
Yes. And I believe in the Mortal Sin podcast, she was the one that said a hurricane was coming to the Seattle.
In Seattle?
Yep. And told everybody to buy all these goods and donate all this money to the church and buy all this food and stuff. And people did.
Then did they have a potluck?
No, but people just spent lots and lots and lots and lots of money and gave away lots and lots of money for no reason at all and got kind of mad.
Yeah.
But Nick felt she's closer to God than anyone else. She's a direct pipeline to God. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he actually ever believed that either. But she could get... He could win over a lot of people if he could win over Sandy, I think. So the next few weeks, Nick is counseling Sandy alone.
Without Jimmy.
Right. And they're counseling at her house. They're counseling at the church. They're counseling in the car. And they said this was a good friendship, a good counseling friendship. Because they're actually, Sandy thinks Nick is amazing because he's the charismatic leader of the church. Sandy is this prophet maker. Mm-hmm. So then they decide to start porking.
But only a special kind of porking.
Yeah, they feel like because they're 13 or 14 in their brain, they just do oral porking at first because that, they said, doesn't count as cheating on their spouses.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you're face down in puss, it's not your wife's, I think your wife would not appreciate that.
I think not.
And if you're honking a skin horn, Sandy, your husband doesn't want someone else's wang in your mouth.
No.
That I think crosses a line. Mm-hmm. Even doing your friendship meetings late at night in your car maybe
crosses a line. Yeah.
I don't understand why these people are like this. If you just want to pork, go ahead, do it. Who cares? But my God, you're dumb. You're going around and just doing stink. You're getting in your stinky puss oral sex after all day of wearing your stained underwear, and then his gross wang and his sweaty balls.
And the thing is, you don't think it's a sin is the problem.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Like you believe in all this other sin stuff, but
this is fine.
There's loopholes around it for you. That doesn't work. Either think it's a sin and follow the rules,
yeah,
or who cares,
or
right?
Just know you're breaking the law. And yeah,
and it's fine.
Oh my goodness. So after a few weeks of this oral porking, Sandy goes, I have another prophecy. My husband, Jimmy. Oh my gosh, he's going to die in a car accident. I'm going to be driving with him in the car. We veer off the road and he just fucking dies. And so Sandy tells this to Nick, just Nick.
Nick isn't super impressed.
No, and Nick is like, oh, okay. Sandy now doesn't tell this to Jimmy. She fails to tell Jimmy that she got a prophecy about his grisly, horrible, horrible, horrible death.
But doesn't she like take out some life insurance?
Oh, she certainly does.
Okay.
She believes her own self, but I think mm-hmm. she doesn't believe her own self because I think she was actually going to just really kill him
and
say God said it first.
Did it. Yeah.
But because of this prophecy, she decides to get the old life insurance signing machine and increases his life insurance so when he dies, she could pay off all her credit cards. Mm-hmm. I mean, clearly, this is just made up to have an excuse as to why you're such a fucking idiot monster. But since she never tells Jimmy about it, or she doesn't tell Jimmy that she's having her skin flute affair and her handy affair, Jimmy wonders why she's gone all the time and starts kind of ignoring him. And she's not really present in their marriage. And Jimmy one day says, what's going on? And he breaks down and he's very upset that Sandy's ignoring him and she's always leaving the house. And so Jimmy says, I'm going to go jump off the Narrows Bridge. And he storms out of the house. And Sandy goes, all right.
I'll just wait
for the phone to ring when they find his body.
Yeah.
Now, is this again a church folk? If someone is going, someone is in dire straits and you don't help them?
Right.
That's not churchly.
Nope. Again, these two were able to say that they really believed the rules of the church. But
they did nothing.
Did not live.
I just don't understand why you wouldn't have any kind of, why someone would say that to you when you would do nothing. Nothing. that to me is, I don't know.
Call the police and say, go to the Nero's Bridge.
Or say, please,
my husband
let's stop.
Said he's going to jump.
And let's go watch a movie and get over and let's figure it out.
Yeah.
But the next day, Jimmy's still alive. So Sandy's like, fuck. Oh, well.
Yeah.
So then she goes and tells Jimmy she just wants a separation. And he leaves. I guess he leaves the home. So then Sandy goes right to Nick and says, now Jimmy doesn't live with me anymore. Let's fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So they start porking everywhere. And it's overdrive porking. Mm-hmm. They're porking in the church. Anywhere where they can combine genitals, they
in
do
the
it
church,
constantly.
In hotels.
Yeah.
In beds. In cars. Everywhere.
Everywhere. Now, since Nick and Sandy both believe they are very special in their church, Nick being the pastor and Sandy being this dumbass that talks to God, they think God obviously allows their affair, and so they can do whatever they want because God must be happy with it. They're special.
Yep.
What, how do you wrap your mind around that and tell yourself that every day? I don't know. So, but then this was just another one of her prophecies that literally never came true because none of them fucking did. None.
I know.
Doesn't You're someone say for once I would just like, you don't you can't even get the weather the next day right. What's wrong with you?
And the weatherman just said it, and you're still not prophesying.
God, you're prophesizing like a dumbass bitch. Sandy and Nick start planning a future together, as dumbass bitches always do. Nick, God forbid, says, hey, you know what? I want to open up a youth camp. God, why would you want to be around children? You absolute asshole. So his dream is to open up a youth camp. First of all, you haven't obviously spent any time around youth because they suck dick. Being at a
Bad
youth camp,
idea
all they're genius. Doing is just playing pranks. They're going to put poison ivy in your underwear so you have poison ivy balls. They're going to kick you in the balls. They're going to do like parent trap and put honey and toilet paper all over everybody's cabin.
All church camp was too was just a hookup.
Of course.
You're just trying to find a boyfriend so you can have your first kiss. Yeah.
But now Sandy's imagining, I want to open up this church camp with you too and be a successful pastor's wife. Of course, they're both really still technically married, but they want to be married to each other and work together. And that's Sandy's dream. But joke's on dumbass bitch Sandy, because Nick's been pulling the same ass routine on pretty much every other woman in this come and go gas station church. So, for instance, another gal he started the same routine on was called Annette, who came again to him for marriage counseling, a married mother of three. And they said Annette also was very beautiful. Annette reenactor was a smoke house.
Again.
Smoke show.
They said everyone in this town was good looking. I mean.
And I find fault with that.
Yeah, I do too.
I feel like that, again, is another cursed lie.
Yeah.
And the lies,
they keep on coming.
The lies. So Annette's struggling in her marriage, and she's just kind of like, let's go to therapy, this church therapy, because it's probably free. And I can say I tried. And so Nick does his whole routine, manipulation routine, singling her out. Now Annette goes by herself, not with the husband. And she tells her friends, like, she gets a Nick hug, like, at the end. Like, he would start physically touching her, like, with hugs or getting closer to her, offering her emotional support, kind of saying he's the only one that can kind of offer this emotional support. So,
and they were too long, the hugs and grabby.
Oh, it's inappropriate.
They were inappropriate.
Yeah.
Like, where he was probably getting a boner and letting it just...
Of course. Poking her with his boner.
Yeah.
And she was
then,
like, oh... Your belt's getting to me. Oh.
Yeah.
But I'm feeling his boner was just very much like a little push pin.
Step back, you're dancing kind of close. Remember that song?
Yes.
I feel a little poke coming through.
She might say, oh, goodness, a mosquito just got me right there.
And then she says, praise Jesus. Yeah.
She goes, boing. And she goes, that was too long. Your boing should be, but.
Yeah.
It's a little tiny guy. But she doesn't go into the full porking or whatever. She's just kind of like, oh, you know, Annette at this point is just like, we're friends and he's being very supportive to me. Don, of course, is clueless to all of this. She is clueless to all of it.
She's in the front row every Sunday, just staring at him madly in love.
Right. She does notice that he's gone a lot more, but he says he's started his counseling on the side. Now Don thinks, oh, he must be wanting to work so much more because I'm so heavy, which she probably wasn't at all.
No.
But I think a lot of women go right to something's like, wrong with
her
me.
BMI was too much like right. mine, and then you can get Ozempic.
Yeah. I know. Oh. But she thought, okay, I'm going to try to lose weight, try to look better, because women always blame ourselves first instead of the shit-ass men we're with or other female partner or whatever partner we're right. with. You know, sometimes you got to... And sometimes it is your fault, you know. But sometimes...
But hardly ever.
But just very hardly ever it's your fault. And she kind of is noticing, like, my husband's doing all this marriage counseling, but not really noticing that his marriage is kind of falling apart. And she starts seeing that, but again, trying to make herself better. Mm-hmm. Now, then Don wants kids. Yeah. And I think when they got married, it was agreed upon that they would have kids. But six years later, mm-hmm. Nick keeps saying no. And Don is getting like, I want to have kids. That is a major thing for her. Yeah. And if he keeps saying no, she's really torn. What do I do? Because this is something she really wants. Mm-hmm. Now we get to October 1997. Sandy gets a message from God again that Don is going to die. And Don is going to die on December 18th. So this is October. Don's going to die on actually December 18th. And she tells Nick this. Just fuck you.
It's so weird.
I hate you, Sandy.
Yeah.
You are mentally ill. Yes. This is called schizophrenia. And people go to a special place. They're lucky enough to go to a sanatorium. And you can just sit there all day and get medicine and paint. Mm-hmm. And it's delightful. Mm-hmm. But Sandy... Now, again, December 18th comes and goes, and like all of Sandy's prophecy, it's pure horse mm-hmm. diarrhea. Mm-hmm. It is very festering diarrhea. Nothing happens because she's a dumb asshole. Now, Nick is pissed because Nick, I think, was hoping that Don would die on December 18th.
Yeah.
But I feel like he has to know that Sandy's a dumb asshole and pulling all of this from her festering butthole.
Well, yeah, because nothing she ever said
comes true.
Up until... Yeah.
But this dick is mad that Don didn't actually die on December 18th.
Right.
But Nick knows, okay, my relationship with Don is struggling. But I obviously cannot divorce her because I'm a marriage counselor pastor. I can't divorce my wife. My career would be over. Now it's Christmas night. He picks Christmas.
It's so
for
bad.
A religious person. Why you pick Christmas? Pick Halloween. I just can't even handle it.
I know.
I can't handle it.
I know.
So on Christmas night, oh, Jesus, Nick decides, well, I shouldn't go fucking pork chicks on Christmas. Mm-hmm. I should be with my wife. Mm-hmm. My wife.
And my wife.
So Don and Nick are opening presents in their bedroom. Their Christmas tree is in their bedroom. Mm-hmm. Because apparently at this time, they're renovating their house.
Right.
And they don't have any heat. And they
this is
don't
getting bad.
Have any way to walk around any parts of the other house. I'm not sure this was true at all, but this is what Nick says. And so they're in with the Christmas tree and all the gifts with space heaters in their bedroom.
Yeah.
So they open up presents and Don gets Nick. And this is where I had to stop. I had to roll on the floor. I had to run around the house and I screamed and I had to just jump up and down. Mm-hmm. And then I had to take massive amounts of alcohol to calm down. Don gets Nick for Christmas. And I'm 1,000% sure this is what Nick asked for, because no woman would do this ever unless instructed to. Don gets Nick many bottles of propane. Who rats up goddamn propane?
Don?
Under a goddamn tree, you're giving your husband propane. Highly flammable goddamn propane under your Christmas tree? And many, many, many bottles of it? How come?
I mean, this is the thing. Well, keep going.
You have the propane in your home under the tree. Now, there was an episode of Trailer Park Boys where they have to bring weed to a Snoop Dogg concert. And Trevor and Corey are supposed to steal a semi-truck, but they steal a propane truck instead.
Oh.
So they have to drain all the propane and sell it to the people in the park so that they can then stuff the weed in the propane thing. And Mr. Leahy gets propane and tries to blow up Ricky because Ricky's trying to marry Mr. Leahy's ex-wife. And it's just
this
complicated.
Story just went,
So that's what I think propane is used for, ill gains.
Okay.
And then now they explain it. Nick explains it away because he likes camping. Mm-hmm. And now you have to kind of use propane for that, maybe like a gas stove to camp. Okay.
Okay.
But there's no way Don just decided to buy. I don't know how to buy propane. I don't know how to get propane even for a grill. I don't know how to exchange it out at the gas station or any of that stuff. I don't know how to do that.
You don't?
I mean, I suppose I could figure it out, but I don't know. Where do you buy propane? Like a Target?
At all those places that have the little cage outside.
These are like 40 ounces.
Yeah, weird. I've never seen it. Like, I don't know. Were they for torches or something? I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. So now she's probably opening her gift of like a vacuum or something.
Yeah.
Although I would love a new vacuum.
Yeah, me too.
And again, this is all in their bedroom. And actor Don is going, hachi, hachi. Because Nick's story is that Don had also a terrible, 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 terrible cold this night.
A terrible cold. Christmas.
Because the house was cold because it just didn't have heat. Again, in Seattle area. Oh. So they're opening their gifts. Now, the space heater is in the bedroom closer to Don, and Don's all covered up in her blankets with her very, very bad cold. So Nick brings her some medicine and a drink, you know, and she goes to bed.
And what have we always said on this podcast?
When your husband brings you a drink, you immediately stand up, you kick him firmly and quickly in the balls, you take the drink, throw it in his face. If you still can, and throwing the cup to his head, and then you just walk away, or you stand and you kick in the balls again.
Yeah.
That's what you do. Don didn't do it.
No.
Nope. Don had the drink and went to bed.
It.
So the following morning, Nick decides to get up super, super, super early to go duck hunting with his friends. Why do you do that?
I'm the 26th and you're a pastor.
Don't you have church goods to do and things?
Yeah.
No. But the hunting wasn't good, so he left in like an hour. What are you talking about?
Yeah, right. Hunters stay out all day.
Yeah, they see them get hammered.
They sleep in the blind.
They barely even hunt. They just get hammered and do gross, gross things.
Take naps away from their
maybe
families.
Make love to the dead ducks. I don't know. They're doing stuff like that, I think. So he comes home, and as he's walking to his home, although he had to walk several blocks to his home, so I don't know why he doesn't park in his garage, but in the show, you know, he's walking down the sidewalk. I think in the real life, he just drove to his home. Mm-hmm. So as Nick is walking to his home, he notices, and this is 9:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. Nick heads home. All these fire trucks are in front of his house. And then he realizes, oh my God, my house is burning to the ground. So by the time he gets to the home, the house, firefighters are there, EMTs, and the fucking coroner. So Nick says, this is my house. And the fire department goes up to him and says, we found something in the bedroom. Do you have a dog or a person in the house? And Nick goes, my wife, my wife, and proceeds to cry. And what was in the home was Dawn in her bedroom with her Christmas tree and her presents dead at the age of 28. What a fucking asshole on Christmas. Awful. This fucking asshole.
Yep.
Oh, I just hate this man so much. And then the firemen proceed to just piss in my mouth by saying, well, it looks like she had a space heater close to wrapping paper and a shit ton of propane tanks in the bedroom. Well, what a terrible dummy. This is an accidental death. She should have known better. And wrapping paper started on fire. And that's what they go with. Accidental death solved. I couldn't handle it. I couldn't again handle it. How do you do that? This is, nobody has propane in their bedroom to this no. extent. Nobody sets their wrapping paper and in front of their space heater.
And this is how you know it's 100% premeditated, because there's no way she would have just accidentally bought him a bunch, a shit ton of propane. He had to have asked for it.
And he knew to leave it in the bedroom. He probably made up all this renovation stuff because he knew the house would be burned down. They're not going to be able to prove it.
Yep.
Oh. Oh, God. Just awful. So police bring him down to the station and they ask him a very obvious statement that, again, none of these police officers thought to further investigate. How come Dawn didn't wake up when the fire started? How come Dawn was just in bed sleeping when she got charred alive in bed and didn't try and move away from the fire? How come she didn't do it, Nick? So Nick says, oh, jeez. Oh, no. She had a cold. It must have been the Benadryl she took. Right there, I would have said, if my feet were burning, I would have wake up from a Benadryl sleep.
Right.
I would notice that my home was on fire.
100%.
And everybody would. Why didn't you say that's not normal? You don't sleep while your body's being charred.
No.
You don't sleep through that. How do you go on in the day knowing you were this dumb? How do you go on?
Well, he goes on for several years.
Well, I know, but the cops.
I know.
God damn it. So now detectives say, did you kill your wife? And he says, no. And they go, okay, then, and close her up. She's done. She's solved. And it's an accident. And this is how it is left. Accident. So Nick is now the grieving widower of his church, getting attention from every single gal in the church and church person. And they have Don's funeral at the church a few days later. And Nick decides he's the man to deliver the eulogy.
Yep.
He's not really that broken up.
He's not grieving.
He wants to put on a show.
Yeah.
In fact, yes, he, they said he gave the performance of his life celebrating Don's death. Yay, let's be happy for Don to have died and go up to heaven. This is a great day for Don. Don, we're so jealous of you that you are in heaven. Let's all celebrate Don's death.
She's an
angel. We're all happy Don is dead.
Yep.
And some people actually were like, this seems like it's a weird eulogy. Like, it seems really odd that he's giving it and that he seems really excited and happy for Dawn to have met her maker and died at 28.
Yep.
When all the rest of us are kind of sad. But they just are like, And then he tells a story how Dawn would sit there in the front row And she would whisper, and I could see her saying to me, "You do it, baby, do it, baby," every time I would give my sermon. And then normal thinking people, that the few that were there, the two maybe that were there, yeah, looked around, and a bunch of other women started saying, "Do it, baby, do it, baby."
That was the worst.
He was porking all of these women.
And so they all started saying it out loud,
thinking they were his new Don.
Do it, baby.
You are at a funeral where you are porking this man,
no,
that his wife just died, and not realizing that he's hammering it to every other woman there.
Right?
Tripper, no. Sorry again. I'm constantly yelling at my pets during this whole show. Now, Nick avoids Sandy for a few weeks, but he finally meets up with Sandy and he tearfully tells her that they must separate. He is going to go on a spiritual quest. They need to cool things off. Sandy is heartbroken. Her genitals are in tears, but she says, "I'll wait."
Mm-hmm.
Now, what Nick does instead is he goes to Annette and has Annette come over to his house to help him with all these pesky insurance papers.
Oh, beautiful Annette.
But then he turns to Annette and says, "Annette, let's make love upstairs right now." Literally, that's what he says. And Annette's like, what?
She said no.
She's like, I'm not, I came over here to help you with some insurance papers. I don't want to fuck you upstairs right
now. I thought we were just
going
to long hug.
Yeah. And he says, "God talks to me and he told me that we should go upstairs and fuck. And it's not a sin." And she says, "No, it's a sin. I'm married. But I'm grieving and God knows that me porking and hammering it to you and giving you the old squeeze job with my ball sack is going to make God happy." And she went, "I don't think I like it. I don't really want to do that. I'm in so much pain. God wants me to look at your stinky puss.
Yeah.
Come upstairs with me. God loves us." And she's like, I'm going to leave. So she goes, but then a few weeks later, like 6 weeks later, Annette calls him and says, "Yeah, let's fuck."
Just
and they
joking.
Go to a hotel room and pork.
Yeah.
And then again on the show, there was 900 scenes of him hammering it to Sandy.
Yes.
Now him and Annette are just 900 scenes of him hammering it to Annette.
It's just the underwear, the bra.
Yeah. Lots
over.
Of writhing.
Yep.
Now, what they don't mention in this show, and this is what almost sent me totally over the cliff, is that there were many other ladies from his congregation that he was doing the same thing to, saying this exact same thing to. But one of them was Don's mother. Don's grieving mother.
Mm-mm.
Don's mother went over to their home, Nick's home, after Don had passed away, you know, trying to help Nick with some things, trying to grieve for her daughter, maybe look at her daughter's belongings and try to figure out what the hell happened and help Nick put things together or whatever. Mm-hmm. Nick tells her the same story. Let's go fuck. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine it because I have a son-in-law. So it's absolutely horrific. What? He says, "God wants us to pork. God wants us to just go smash it to town." And she says, "All right, okay." And she starts having a sexual affair with Nick right after her daughter's dies, her daughter's husband. And she's doing it because she thinks God wants her to. Like, she talks in the Dateline and in the podcast, and Josh Mankiewicz is the one leading it, and he almost can't even talk to her because he can't understand any of these choices. He's just like, "Well, I mean," and then now that this is all done, she's very regretful. "Hey, no, Tripper, but I don't understand any of it. How are you so naive? How are you so weird and gross? And how is Nick just so purely evil? Like, a narcissistic sociopath. I just don't. Anyway, so a few years go by. Annette and Nick are still having an affair. In fact, Nick is still having sex with his mother-in-law. Annette is still married. And she's kind of like feeling extremely torn. Do you want to open that door? I'm God damn it.
I can't get out.
Annette is feeling super guilty. Are you trapped?
I'm sliding. Okay.
Oh my God. Shit show. There's dogs scream barking. This is 2001. Annette just has to confess all this sinning to somebody. And she decides Sandy's the one she's going to confess to. Sandy, the church secretary. She goes to Sandy's and said, Sandy, I've been having sex with Nick all this time.
Yep.
Now, Sandy's like, what the hell? Are you kidding me? I was having sex with Nick.
Yep.
And he dumped me. And then he had sex with you. And so Sandy tells Annette, like, the same thing happened to her. And now Annette is totally stunned. And then Annette realizes, holy shit, she's been totally played. And Sandy realizes she's been totally played. But Sandy's also a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
But they both kind of sit there and realize, what in the hell are we doing? What in the hell? Annette decides then to tell everyone she knows that she's porking Nick. And the whole church finds out.
Right.
Sandy decides to just go a little darker on Nick and just cut him to the bone and go straight to the police. So Sandy goes to the police and says, Nick killed Don. He told me he did. He confessed it to me. And so the police are like, Now, the scene itself was quite suspicious, but we just shit that away. Right. And now you're seeing this feller down confessed. I don't know. You're kind of a weird bitch, aren't you? And she's like, yeah, I am a weird bitch, but this is true.
You're kind of a weird bitch.
And yeah, Sandy says, we had an affair, and I had a prediction that December 18th, Don was going to die in the... And for some reason, my prediction didn't come true. Just this once. Mm-hmm. Just that one time it didn't come true. But Nick was so mad at me. And then after Don died, he called me and said, it's finally done. And left a message. And they're like, okay, so? And she's like, but no. Then I met him 2 weeks later and he told me how he did the whole thing. Why didn't you say something then, Sandy? Why are you saying you're a church lady? You are not a church lady.
It said to, yeah. Okay.
So she says 2 weeks after Don's death, Nick says how he did it, how he killed Don. They're opening the Christmas gifts in the bedroom. And all of a sudden, as they were opening Christmas gifts, God spoke to him very loudly and said, take the lamb.
Yeah.
And to him, that wasn't schizophrenia. That wasn't gas going. That sounded like take the lamb. It meant he has to kill the shit out of his wife. Mm-hmm. So he kills Don by knocking her out with like a bucket full of Benadryl in her drink. That's why you don't take a drink from your husband.
No.
As she is in a Benadryl stupor, he suffocates her with like a Target bag. And it was clear enough that he told Sandy as he was suffocating her with the bag, he could watch her wake up and she had her eyes open and was watching him. So he watched her die through the bag.
That is the devil.
That's the devil.
Yeah.
How,
check your pulse.
Oh my God. My pulse. 94. Oh. It's not as high as it was.
Okay.
So the detectives are like,
Now that you say that.
Now, we did investigate all this. But yet you say he was having affairs and had motives. You're saying he confessed it to ya. So they finally reopen the case and actually look at stuff. Lord, give me strength. Because the forensic medical officer... First off, had to get blood only from her heart, which was the only organ that they could get blood out of because everything else was
tissue or
charred.
Yeah. Yes.
And her goddamn heart blood was Benadryl, like 10 times right. the dose, enough to like totally knock something out that completely matches the story. This was there the whole time. And in her goddamn blood was proof that she had no carbon monoxide in the blood, which you would have if you were died in a fire. Mm-hmm. These dumbass idiots had this the whole time, never looked at it or checked it. And this woman was horribly murdered on Christmas and no one even tried to stand up for her. And then her mom is porking him? This woman had no one. No one.
No.
And she never would have if Sandy wouldn't have been so pissed at Annette. Sandy would have never said if she wasn't just pissed.
Yeah.
Oh, how are people, how do people live like this? How do you live like this? Oh my God. So now they, of course, have to check Sandy because they think somehow Sandy arranged all this and is blaming it on Nick, but she has a very solid alibi. And then they realize, I guess it is Nick. After all of this evidence, I guess he probably did it.
I don't really get the alibi. Like,
they never said what it was. She can just say,
like, she was with her family at Christmas, but does that... I mean, just because she wasn't there doesn't mean she didn't have anything
to do with it. Well, true. She should be arrested. She was planning and saying stuff about her death. Yeah. And she was an accessory to him after the fact.
So I don't get it unless they didn't, I mean...
Give her immunity to testify.
I think she did have to get some sort of a deal.
Yeah, but because like, this is a straight-up bitch.
It didn't even say anything about them looking at her like text messages or emails like to see if they were still... Because he had broken up with her.
Right.
And so, I mean, I hope they checked that out. I don't fucking know.
I don't know. So now police want to check a few more things. Did Nick really leave his home that early, as he said, the next morning to go hunting? And they find out, hell no, because they talk to his hunting buddies who say he was here way late. God damn it! And in fact...
Way late and came home way early.
Right. That he was there when the fire started at 7:45 a.m. Nick was home. So that they have as well as evidence. So they arrest Nick for murder. And they believe that his motives obviously were to be able to not be married and pork everyone, but he can't be divorced because he's a marriage counselor.
And a pastor.
And a pastor. And
once you get married, it's a sacrament. Oh. You can't get divorced.
And he had $100,000 insurance on Don, and he was in a lot of debt.
Yeah, you don't. That was like just at the end. They're like, "Oh, he's in debt," but like, why was he? Did they say?
No, but I'm sure it was enough to
from all the hotel rooms.
I'm sure, maybe, and I'm sure buying cars or trying to look all suits. But he's an ugly man. He wasn't buying suits.
No, he was so ugly.
He didn't buy plastic surgery.
Yeah.
And so all of his affairs testified.
Yeah.
And the jury was pissed.
It said Sandy was like the star witness.
And he is guilty as shit. Yep. And he is currently in jail right now.
Yes.
And he runs he has a worm farm and a garden in his jail. That's what he does.
Why?
Because he just got into gardening. And then
what
he
is
uses
a worm farm
well, he
for?
Uses the worm for gardening and fertilizing and stuff. And so he has now collects worms. He's a weird asshole. He's a horrible man. Maybe he eats them.
Oh, my God.
Or makes love to them.
Ew.
I just, everything about these people, I don't understand it. I can't for the life of me get it.
I know. It's hard for you.
Oh. And it always turns out, all of these Voices from God cases always turn out bad.
Mm-hmm.
Bad. Always.
Always.
Hi, Kitty. Now we have Tripper going nuts. Yep. Now Randy is.
And if you like all this talk about murder and psychos, join us for book club. It's tonight, Tuesday, the 30th.
7:30 p.m. Central Time.
We get on Zoom. So check the It's Always the Husband podcast group page and we'll put the link there. Just search book club and Shauna usually puts it up there. And we will talk about Don't Let Her Stay.
Right.
And we all read it. And next month, get ready.
Yeah.
Because we're reading Zenith Man.
From McCracken.
From McCracken Poston Jr. Yep.
Two McCracken Postons.
We can't wait. All right. Join us.
Yes, we hope you can.
Hope to see
you. Even if you didn't read it, that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, we'd give it away.
Yeah.
But if you don't care about that, just come and raise a glass and say hi on Zoom.
Yeah.
Thank you for this maddening story.
I know. Ugh.
I hated him.
I hate him so much.
I hated the girl, too.
And the girls, too.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
Just don't be so dumb.
Ugh.
Jesus doesn't want you to do
or have affairs all you stuff. Want. Yeah. I don't care. But don't use God talking to you to yeah. make it okay.
No, nope.
That's right. Just insane.
Right. Then just do it. All right. And bye.